It's one thing to bet on yourself. It's another to put in the work and be able to take those chips to the window and cash out. Fred VanVleet has done that a couple of times now, and we welcome him to the show. Freddie, thanks for doing this, and congrats on the new deal.
Man, thank you. Thanks for having me.
When did you know that you were going to return to the Raptors?
That was kind of our plan the whole time, but, just when the deal got done was, Saturday morning. So that was a big, big relief for me to have that kind of behind us for sure.
Now, we noticed in the deal, player option for year four. So you're still betting on yourself to be able to level up. How do you want to improve over the span of this deal, the way you've improved in your career so far?
Just keep making jumps. I think keep continuing to be more efficient and then tighten up a lot of the things that I'm already good at. I think with a bigger role and a bigger opportunity, I'm going to have more chances to make more plays and do more things and become a better, even more better of a leader. So everything that I've done thus far, I can get better at, and there's areas that I need to improve that I will improve in. So I'm excited about the next few years and what that'll look like as an individual. But ultimately, the goal is to keep working towards that next championship.
You do realize that you've become almost the example to bet on yourself, to never give up, to keep working. Like other guys who are now passed over use your name as inspiration that it can be done. Do you know that?
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to be on this side of it. I was just on the other side of it not too long ago. So I don't forget, my memory is not that bad. I remember a lot of situations that I've been in, a lot of people saying certain things. And, you just keep that with you and you try to be gracious and humble along your way. But in the back of your mind, you always keep things in perspective. But I do think that it's important that a lot of guys who are in a similar position I was in can use my story, but just, understand if you really want to use my story, do your research and really dive into what that took, because it's not just as simple as saying, oh, everybody's overlooking me and they don't think I'm good enough. And then, you sign for a big contract. It's not that simple.
All right, let's examine that, because I love it. In this day and age, sometimes things become this tight little story that people can easily consume and move on. To me, it does a disservice to what was actually accomplished. Like, what do people miss about your journey to this point that you want them to know? Like, it's easy to say, hey, get on your grind or rise and grind. It's another thing to actually do it.
Yeah, it's just you got to be the only person in the world who believes in yourself more, than anybody else. Like, you can't. I have an incredibly, important support system behind me. That allowed me to feel these type of things and allowed me to be on this journey. But at the same time, they couldn't do it for me. So what I see with a lot of guys is there's people around them that believe in them more than they believe in themselves. And that can never be the case. And for me, I've always been kind of classified as like this crazy, ambitious, arrogant guy who felt like, he was always better than what he is. But, who's to say I'm not? And I'm not going to ever let anybody else put a value on me. I'm the only person that can determine my value. And, that's what's led me to this point. So there's no way to sum up the story. You just have to kind of look through the story and look through the highs and the lows and understand that you have to be okay with accepting your role, because I did. When I first came into the league, I had to accept the situation I was in. But it never dimmed my flame to the point to where I just – fell completely into that, because if that was the case, I would still be an end of the bench guy.
Let's talk about that support system, because when you originally signed at the beginning of your journey, the money as an undrafted free agent isn't in the paper. Now you sign, the money's in the paper, it's on Twitter. How many people are starting to hit you up with numbers that you don't recognize, trying to be a part of that support system now that you've really leveled up?
Not too many. We keep a tight ship over here, so I kind of cut off the fat really early in my life. That $500,000 I was making my first year, that was in the paper in Rockford. I guarantee you that. on Instagram and it didn't get clicks, but people been knowing what I've been making for the last 4 years. So I'm used to it, but we just been running this tight ship. I mean, people see it now because I've made it to what the public views as the top of the mountain. But like the stuff that I'm saying now, the stuff that I'm doing now, I've been on this for 10, 15 years now. And then just now it makes sense. Before you get to that point, it just sounds crazy. And, you know, people look at you like you don't know what you're talking about, or you know, you believe in yourself too much. But now it makes sense. And now everybody can look back and say, oh, OK, he didn't know what he was talking about, or he didn't know what he was doing. Or, man, how did we miss that? You missed it because you wanted to miss it. You know what I mean? That's just how it goes.
I love that we're hearing part of the support system right now. Is that the same?
Yeah, they got big boots on and beads flying around their heads, crying, jumping around. So they're never too far away.
Hey, don't worry about it. I just dropped my son off back at school. So let's talk about this, because I when you bring up the support system, obviously family, friends, people who work with you, people who have worked with you along the way, and teammates. And Kyle Lowry had a pretty cool Instagram post when the reports of your signing came out. And he talked about the blood, sweat, and even the broken teeth among that post. And then talked a little bit about the man that you have become. What is Kyle's support meant to you, especially when you're drafted? He could be looked at as the guy who had the spot you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, that's my brother, man. It's hard to put into words. I think that, what he's speaking to is more so the relationship, and I try to tell people this all the time. Like, when I came into camp, Kyle didn't know me from a can of paint, and, you know, he showed me the respect, but I also demanded my respect as well. So when we had our interactions, I think he saw just how I was on it as far as my character and my play and the way that I was, you know, moving, and I saw that he was open to me a little bit, and I just knew I had to take that and run with it. So, you know, I tell people all the time, my first day at camp, I thought I was trying to get to the gym, you know, early. Kyle had already been in there for an hour and a half. And then, you know, he comes up to me and says, yo, here, Rook, carry this bag for me. And, like, I'm like, all right, shit, I'm in the NBA. I carry all your bags if you want me to. Like, I don't, you know, but now that I'm in this position, I see guys that don't do that. There's rookies that come in that don't want to do their rookie duties. And it causes a rift, you know, between the players. And so I say all that to say, if I was coming at him like, this is the top guy, I got to cut his legs off from underneath him, I wouldn't probably be in this position I am right now. And if he was a jerk to me from day one, you know what I mean, our relationship would have never been what it is to this point. So we would never been in a position to help each other.
You know, we just got through the draft process, and I found it really interesting that people were saying Peyton Pritchard, a guard like Kyle Lowry, Malachi Flynn, a guard like Fred VanVleet. when you were a guard in the draft, people were looking for a guard like Fred VanVleet. Is there something we can learn that you guys have, the intangibles, the competitiveness, and that's not just about the measurables that evaluators should be looking for?
Nah, you can't teach it, man. And I've struggled with that in the last 2 months myself, watching this draft unfold. Is like, I've been getting that, the Peyton Pritchards and the Malik, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I see the game, yeah, okay, but like, what I have, I don't even know what it is, you know what I mean? So I can't look for it as somebody else. It's like, it's between your ears. It's all mental, for me, at least, just speaking for me. But, you know, only thing you can do as a guy like me is just appreciate that that's even the possibility. And I spoke on it a little bit earlier. Like, I don't think some of these kids would have been getting drafted if my story doesn't go this way, because they would be looked at in a different light. Guys like me obviously weren't appreciated when I was coming out. So here we are 4 years later, and these guys are getting drafted. And now I'm a player comparison on draft night, which is like the funniest thing in the world to me, because, you know, I went undrafted. So you just appreciate the journey and kind of, you know, how things have changed so quickly and the way that the NBA changes. We all know it's a copycat league. So I think there's a lot of teams looking for the next Fred VanVleet or the next Kyle Lowry and saying, how do we not miss on guys like that again?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's a great point. Speaking of the business, how tough is it to say goodbye to Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol?
It's tough, man. It's tough. Those are two of the better bigs in the league and have been for a long time. Unbelievably great people, and friends and brothers to us, and just having that veteran presence in the locker room and on the plane, and just, you know, having that advice and people to lean on when you need it, keeping things fresh, keeping things in perspective. Obviously, we won a championship together, so that bond is lifelong. So it's tough to see him go. You know, you understand the nature of the business and how those things go. So we wish him the best, and I just can't wait to put both of those guys in 100 pick and rolls and double team them and you know, be annoying and foul them. So we'll miss them. I'll miss them more as people than I will as players, but, man, we'll probably miss them on the court for sure.
Let me follow up on that a second, because we played a best of Serge off the court yesterday, and we were laughing our asses off at the how hungry are you in eating a beef, whatever pizza with Kawhi Leonard and the Slam Magazine shoot.
Freddie Vandalay.
Freddie Vandalay. What's your favorite off the court Serge moment?
That's all day, every day, man. That's all day, every day with Serge. You guys got to see it. He turned into a media darling there at the end. I think he started to, you know, embellish in it. And once he had his cooking show and the clothing show, like, he started to realize that people like that kind of stuff. But that's how he is every day. He's just a character. But, you know, I won't miss waiting on the team playing for an hour for him to show up. I won't that. I wait an hour after the game for him to do his facials and exfoliating and all that. But I'll miss my guy a lot, man, for sure.
Now, you're saying he's a media darling. Like, don't act like you're not a mogul at this point. We see the step and repeat behind you with the chip, with the bag in the middle for the we see the polo with the logo looking like it's Balenciaga, but it's FBV shop. what's next in terms of everything that is the business of Bet on Yourself and Fred VanVleet?
You know, just taking things to the next level. And it's like, it's a slow, steady climb, but I mean, you know, if you see the basketball progression, that's the same thing I'm doing in my business life, is just trying to take things one step at a time and trying to think about what's next and how do I push forward. And I remember I had this brand my rookie year, and I walked in with shirts, and they're like, "What is that?" And I was like, "This is me. This is my logo." And they're like, "What the hell you got a logo for?" You know, at the end of the bench, you're going back and forth to the D League, but I knew in my mind that that's not where I was going to be at always. So, again, we're just building foundations here and trying to build, like, the blueprint and kind of, you know, the system and the structure, so that when things do take off, here we are now, I already have something in place that can give people that I love jobs and opportunities and things like that. And also, I'm really into this stuff, so it's super cool to see. But the business is definitely booming right now, and I'm looking forward to, you know, what's next.
Now, I know you, and I know now that you have the money, you're not going to forget about the movement, and you were really outspoken in the bubble about the Black Lives Matter movement. And so as we move forward to a new season, what can the organization who's been out front, what can the league and the players do to kind of keep that conversation going?
Continue to raise awareness. I think I kind of shifted my focus once we decided to resume play. And once I learned some details about the league that, you know, I won't speak on publicly, I kind of shifted my focus away from the pretty, you know, the words on the court and the words on the jersey, all the symbolic gestures. Like, let's get to the real work and let's see what we can really do. So, I'm doing work in my hometown like I always do. I'm going to continue to try to find work to do, you know, in Toronto. And maybe, you know, we'll find some stuff to do in Tampa. So just put your boots on the ground and get to work and make real change. I'm working on a couple scholarship programs. So things like that, that's long-term effects. I'm not a politician. I'm not a social activist. And I think that for me, I'm not going to act like one because it gets clicks on the internet. So I just want to shift my focus a little bit away from, like, the broadcasting and the mainstream effect of saying those things on TV, because it just becomes null and void. And the people behind the scenes that are making real changes are laughing at us anyway. So let's see how we can get real change. And Chow was just on the phone. Larry called me yesterday, Mr. Tannenbaum, and those are the interactions that I want to have. Can I speak to him like I speak to my brother or my dad or my mom, you know, and ask him for things and he respond, all right, that's changed. Like, get him on the phone and let's make some real things happen.
It's funny, as soon as you said boots to the ground and do some real work, I thought that's what got you where you are in life, period. It's a great way to put it. And also, if we can all, I remember we had you in studio in 2018 and we were talking about bet on yourself, and you said this has been a journey the entire way. There've been bets on yourself at 5 and there'll be bets on yourself at 25 and at 35. And if we can help any way along that road, let us know, because we always enjoy these conversations.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for sure. And it takes all of us, man. It takes all of us. And obviously in my career, I'm the one doing the work, but it's much more than just me. There's a bunch of people behind me that's rolling with me along the way, and you know, everybody has to do their part. So I'm just excited in terms of professionally that this is where we are in my personal life. But as far as, you know, the activism thing goes, like, everybody has to do their part, and we'll build it out from there.
We've always enjoyed the conversations because they're real. Whatever the topic has been, and this has been no different. Thank you for the time, and come back on the show whenever you want.
All right, brother. Thank you, guys.